사랑하는 성도 여러분, 일반 사람들은 선에 대해
Brothers and sisters, in general, people vaguely think of goodness as good and nice things. But what men think of as goodness significantly differs from what God sees as goodness. As we find in Luke chapter 18, verse 19, no one is good except God alone. Absolute goodness only lies in God. So, for us to achieve a good heart, we are to diligently listen to and learn the Word of God who is good. We also have to practice the Word we've learned and cultivate our heart with it. As we realize what true goodness is by looking into the life of our Lord, who only lived according to God's will and the life of our fathers of faith, we can also attain to God-pleasing levels of goodness. Today as well, we will delve into Job's remarks one by one. I want you to ponder over how you would respond in Job's situation and how you can think in true goodness and love. Hopefully, you'll find the answers from the Word of God who serves as a standard for all kinds of goodness, thereby wholly achieving true goodness and love. Today as well, Job recalled the days when he blessed himself. He said in chapter 29, verse 19, My root is spread out to the waters, and dew lies all night on my branch. As for trees deeply rooted by a stream, they've got nothing to fear, even in drought. The reason is, as long as the stream isn't dried up, the trees would absorb water and nutrients. With their leaves staying green, they would bear good fruits in their season. So Job's root being spread to the waters means that his life was secure and abundant like trees rooted by a stream, and all things went well with him. Job also mentioned, And dew lies all night on my branch. Holding dew all night, branches can stay fresh throughout the day. Using that figure of speech, young people who are living in the cities, they may not, it may be hard for them to see dew lying on branches, but those who live on the in the countryside, they see branches and leaves having dew on them. They find the branches and plants wet with dew. But this is also from God's love. God makes it happen so that plants and animals can live. This is an amazing plan of God. Why does dew form? It's because of the differences of temperature from day and night. In Israel, the rain may stop for months, but plants have to grow. Those plants don't need a lot of water, relatively. Also, animals have to live. Plants and animals die without water, but how can they survive in the seasons that where they have no rain? Because of the temperatures between the day and night, dew forms. And thanks to the dew, plants can grow and animals can also eat them. God made it happen so that plants and animals can sustain their life. Understanding this principle, so Job's root being using the figure of speech, Job described how he was ready to welcome each day in peace. In the past, Job thought of himself, because I've done a lot of good, I'm convinced that my life I'm convinced that my life would always stay fresh, abundant, and peaceful and happy like trees rooted by a stream and branches holding dew. Moreover, he said in chapter 29, verse 20, my glory is ever new with me, and my bow is renewed in my hand. Having done a lot of good and virtuous deeds, Job was complimented by people. That's why he could confidently say of himself, my glory is ever new with me. Job meant that people's praises would exalt him more and make his heart more abundant and renewed. He also affirmed that he'd be on a roll like his bow renewed in his hand. Bow being renewed means that actually when you it means Job was convinced that he would be continue to be praised and honored. And as Job was praised and honored by all people, he was convinced that his life would be increasingly prosperous. But this is kind of blessing that one can expect when he's done things in spirit. As for our fathers of faith, including Abraham, Joseph, and Daniel, since they received blessings after having passed their trials well, and as their soul were prospering, the blessings were never destroyed. As we find in 3 John chapter 1, verse 2, beloved, I pray that in all respects you may prosper and be in good health, just as your soul prospers. Blessings piled up in spirit never get shattered like a house built on a rock. Your family and workplaces and goes for the same goes for your family, workplaces, and businesses. We are to know that as for what has been piled up in flesh, not in spirit, the time will come for them to be destroyed. Some people think, because I receive blessings as a Christian, they will never waver. Yes, the blessings from God are strong and hard, but if you change, if you degenerate, those blessings can be gone as well. Even if you lead a Christian life, after some time, if you like become arrogant or cease to pray or stop showing faithfulness, the blessings may no longer. As for Job, he received blessings when he hadn't come in the spirit. So. But Job didn't realize this in the past. Job didn't realize why his blessings were gone. If Job had piled up all things in spirit, his blessings wouldn't have been destroyed. Job said that his health and his glory would never go away. We don't have to say that. As long as we stay in the Word, His blessings and answers wouldn't waver. But if you don't, you may feel. In the following verses, we find what a respectable life Job led in the past. Job remarked in chapter 29, verses 21 and 22, to me they listened and waited and kept silent for my counsel. And kept silent for my counsel. After my words, they did not speak again, and my speech dropped on them. Because people cherished Job's teachings as their life, they silently paid attention to his words so they could hear even a little more from him. Even when Job was done speaking, people just nodded in approval without refuting any of his words. Job's speech dropping on them means that they willingly accepted his words like dew permeating leaves. This shows how much they honored Job. But now, around Job were only those who struck him back with more words rather than paying attention to him. Even though Job shared the same knowledge and thoughts as before, as he was in a different different position, people no longer try to heed and understand his words. Rather, they refuted his words. As Job felt so miserable, he reminisced over the days when people tried to hear even one more word from his lips. Job said in chapter 29, verses 23 and 24, "They waited for me as for the rain and opened their mouth as for the spring rain. I smiled on them when they did not believe, and the light of my face they did not cast down." To farmers, rain is an essential resource that brings them comfort and abundance. For crops to grow properly, there have to be both early and late rains. In the region of Israel, the early rain refers to the first rain that comes around October. With the arrival of the early rain, the rainy season begins, and the rain in that season moistened the land which had been dried up and hardened during the dry season, making it possible for farmers to cultivate the field and sow seeds. The late rain refers to rains that come around April, and it plays a crucial role in the crop fields. I want you to understand the difference. Therefore, God said in Deuteronomy chapter 11 verse 14, "He will give the rain for your land in the season, the early and late rain that you may gather in your grain and your new wine and your oil." We find that the early and late rains that come down in proper times are blessings from God. Particularly when a drought strikes, farmers eagerly wait and long for rains. Just as farmers long for rains, people previously longed to hear Job's words. Moreover, people waiting for Job as for the late rain indicates how eagerly and sincerely they awaited him. Like the late rain that falls at the end of a drought, Job's each word was so precious to them. The reason was, Job's words provided a help and made their life abundant. He said in verse 24, "I smiled on them when they did not believe." When a person helps out a neighbor from his heart, he wears a happy smile on his face. It's not that Job grudgingly showed mercy on people who had nothing to rely on. When we grudgingly help people, we have no joy because we do it grudgingly. But if we help others from our heart, we don't care. Even if we make a loss, if another person can gain strength, or because we do things out of a good intention, we are joyful and happy in helping them, and we are happily volunteering. It's not that Job grudgingly showed mercy on people who had nothing to rely on. He helped them out of joy. Even while he gave them a big help, he considered it insignificant and treated them with mercy. So, when Job helped them out with a smiling face, they didn't make him feel uncomfortable or embarrassed. This also implies how respected and honored he was. As for some people, when they're shown mercy, they feel hurt and upset and say, "Are you treating me like a beggar?" But with goodness and love, Job took joy and delight in helping people, so even while they were given help, they were happy and joyful. When you help others, when you volunteer for others, if another person doesn't look happy, we have to examine with what kind of our heart we are helping people. If we help others grudgingly, another person who receives help will feel hurt. As we give, we have to think about with what kind of heart we are giving. And we, even as you give with a good intention, another person may feel hurt. But you have to examine whether you are insisting on yourself as you give, and whether you are ignoring that person as you are giving. Brothers and sisters, even though Job's words were not perfect truth, people long for them like farmers waiting for rain. Then, with what kind of heart should we long for the word of God, the truth? It said in Psalm chapter 42, verse 1, as the deer pants for the water brook, so my soul pants for you, O God. We have to eagerly long for God like deer panting for a water brook and consider His words sweeter than honey and the drippings of the honeycomb. Also, that longing and heart shouldn't waver. People who long for Job quickly had a change of heart, following their benefits. But our heart for God shouldn't change forever. Even in the face of a trouble, we have to be thankful that God has redeemed us from all sins, given us everlasting life in heaven, and guided our souls to prosper. We should also be grateful that God has given us good health and provide precious duties, cause things to work together for good, etc. Our gratitude has to grow more and more. In craftiness, Job went on to explain what kind of position he was in the past using a figure of speech. He said, I chose a way for them and sat as chief and dwelt as a king among the troops as one who comforted the mourners. Job said that being in a position where he was honored like a king, he presented people with ways to go and comforted those in grief. Since he did a lot of things in goodness and love, he was honored, praised, and loved by many. He taught people in which ways to go, helped them financially, and comforted them. So it was only natural that being served and exalted by people this way, Job became proud of himself and he found the satisfaction and joy from that. Even though he'd helped them out of a good heart without selfish greed, as he won their heart, he began to think, for sure, I've done a lot of good things worthy of their respect. In doing so, he found his charitable deeds for others enjoyable and amusing. This was a problem. As people love being complimented, arrogance begins to sprout. Even though they start out with a good intention, they change as long as they have flesh in themselves. But such is never the case with the heart of truth. Let's say someone has helped you financially. As the person who received help exalts and serves you, if you become proud or joy being treated that way, that's an indication of arrogance sprouting in you. If you think, because I've done good, I deserve this, and consider it natural for you to be complimented, this leads you to trials. And also, if you want someone to compliment you, that means you also have the as I told you before, good and charitable deeds are not something worthy of respect and or exaltation. They are merely a basic duty we are to do as God's children. If we exalt and cherish one another without a desire to be loved and served, it would be such a beautiful thing. Watch. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 6, verses 3 and 4, "Then you give to the poor, do not let your hand know what your right hand is doing, so that your giving will be in secret. And your Father who sees that is done in secret will reward you." If you help others in order to receive praising honor, you may be temporarily exalted here on earth, but you will have no rewards to receive in everlasting heaven. You know, mommy members, you don't help others to be recognized by others, but as you do so, you may change as Job did. You are thankful that you've been saved, and so you become the head or leader, and then before you know it, you enjoy being complimented, and then so rather than showing devotion and service, you want to be served. This is big arrogance. You have to fix such habits. Excuse me. As for me, I say to the church leaders around me, actually, I have this heart. I don't want to be served by them. But if I, as people continue to serve me, a sprout may grow in you, in me. So, and so I say to the church workers, leaders, and you know, over the years, I've cooked myself, and I. And I'm in the habit of doing things on my own, and it is also my character. I don't want to tell others to do this and that, and I feel uncomfortable. But church leaders try to serve me, so it was difficult for me to receive such a. And there are some people also show too much of their respect, but so I told them not to. So it's also I also have that feeling because people may develop arrogance before they know it. You have to stay vigilant against it. At first, you start things with a good intention, but as time passes, you become great, and you don't want to do so we have to. You should keep ourselves from being arrogant, and we have to also check your areas of life, and you have to stay vigilant against that, and you have to know. So I urge you to always stay vigilant against the arrogant, and therefore in practicing charity, you have to do things out of a heartfelt love and sincerity, without a desire to boast of yourself. Even though people respect and exalt you for many charitable deeds you've done, you are to lower yourself more and serve them instead of becoming arrogant. Then you can enjoy God's blessings. Jesus healed the sick, performed numerous signs and wonders, and manifested good and great works, yet he didn't want to be served. Even though he existed in the form of God, he always stayed humble, sacrificed himself, and served. On this earth, he served others, being in the lowest place, and miserably suffered crucifixion and death. But to everlasting heaven, you know, he's the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. He told us that we also have to serve to become great ones in heaven. Regardless of whether we are high or low, depending on how sanctified and beautiful are we, thus, I hope that all of you consider others better than yourself and humbly serve them, thereby becoming great ones in heaven. In chapter 29, Job recalled what an honorable person he was in the past and gave explanation with various figures of speech. But in chapter 30, he returned to the reality and went on to talk. He said, in chapter 30, verse 1, but now these younger than I mock me, whose fathers I disdain to put up with my dogs and my flock. Job was saying that in the past, men and women of all ages respected him. But as everything had been destroyed in his life, even young men mocked him with useless words. But how did Job say to them? He utterly disregarded them, saying, "Whose fathers I disdain to put with the dogs of my flock." Not only did he accuse the young man who mocked him, but he uttered can you understand him using such an expression? From a spiritual point of view, his words were bitterly evil and totally incomprehensible. But it's also important that we try to understand the affliction from a physical perspective, asking ourselves how heartbroken he must have been speaking that way. In the past, even noble ones respected and honored Job, but now even the children of the lowly and wretched mocked Job. So Job described how distressed and humiliated he was. Then, that what was the reason that just like Job, if another person harasses you and distresses you, if you not, do you accuse even those people and even their families? And especially in a relationship with your wife or husband, if you don't really like your wife or husband, how do you fight back? They say, "Your family, your parents." They start out by saying that. And Job also, he not only accused those young men, but also the families of those young men. Also, I want you to check yourself. When another person is, if you don't like the other person, you say things like, "Your parents, your family." What does that mean? You accuse even their families. It's not just about the evil of Job. And what kind of lesson Father God is giving us through Job? First, Job dealt with those who persecuted him in untruth. In Matthew chapter 5, verse 44, Jesus said, "Love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you." He also said in Luke chapter 6, verse 29, "But I say to you, who hear, love your enemies, do good to those who hate you." And he said, even when someone persecutes and hates us, the truth teaches us to deal with him in love and goodness. If Job had treated others only in the truth like King David, he wouldn't have been mocked. As King David was on the run amidst his son Absalom's rebellion, a man named Shimei cursed him, throwing stones at him. Then one of his officials, Abishai, suggested, "Why should this dead dog curse my lord the king? Let me go over and now cut off his head." I mean, he could have he could have let his officials kill that man, but David only acted in goodness. He said, King David replied, "Behold, my son who came out from me seeks my life. How much more now this Benjamite? Let him alone and let him curse, for the Lord has told him." Even though David was cursed and insulted by one of his people, he forgave him and didn't do anything against him, only entrusting things to God. As a result, this is not easy. You know that, right? Even though David could have but King David just leave it alone because he acknowledged God and he believed that God would take two things. But actually, the man was so evil. But David didn't talk about that. But he just he was only centered on God and he spoke that way and he practiced goodness. So God worked for him and gave him blessings. We also have to remember this. We have to act in goodness to the end. Then Father God would work for us and He would bless us due to our good deeds. But if your goodness doesn't reach a level that is perfect, you cannot see the work of God. You may have said, I'm distressed during the trial. Then Father God cannot work. But, and through evil people around us, Father is trying to change you. Even though, but so if you come forth as perfect once, Father God will work for you. But you shouldn't think like, I wish that Father God would do something against him. So this is our, like, our homework. We have to achieve the goodness and love that Father God wants. We shouldn't, but we have to only be focused on the goodness of God, and we have to look at ourselves to that. Some people wonder why God is not answering me. I am. You have to find answers from the goodness and truth of God. If we act as he acted in the truth like this, the enemy, devil, and Satan was driven away. But not acting that way, Job responded in evil. In turn, disputes went on and they replied him. They repaid him with mocking. We are to keep in mind that where there is a conflict or a fight, the enemy, devil, doesn't leave but interferes. It causes more hatred and enmity among people. Second, Job discriminated against people. He was belittling those who mocked him. But such attributes didn't come out all of a sudden. These were the feelings Job had harbored towards people whom he helped out. Even though it had been revealed on the outside, there was a part of him that disregarded and discriminated against them. This is how he didn't even hesitate to compare their lowliness to that of dogs. Everyone wants to receive decent education in a good environment. Since they all have different family, social, and cultural backgrounds, their level of knowledge, common sense, and value system naturally differ. For this reason, they are to understand each other's differences, respect their diversity, and embrace them with a broad heart. We shouldn't evaluate and disregard others according to our own standards. You, all of you in the church or out in the world, we have a tendency to evaluate others. We decide whom to serve, whom not to serve. This is the arrogance that people have. We have to cast that off. Sometimes people lack education, and so they develop not that good of a character. So we have to have mercy on them and we have to try to understand them. We shouldn't say things like, I can't understand them. And we should not ignore or disregard them. Then we are breaking peace and we cannot see the Lord's face. As we are in the church, we meet all kinds of people and we have to expect their diversity, respect their diversity. Some people are not changed quickly, and some people have weak faith. They have problems coming from those things. But I mean, some people are faithful, but so they disregard those who are not faithful. This is arrogance. This is how arrogance is revealed, but they don't realize about themselves. But they think that, oh, I'm very faithful, I'm volunteering hard, and I am sowing a lot. This is a pride. Like if you... So this is the reason for their trial. We have to cast them off. We have to resemble our Lord. We have to reach the level that Father God is pleased with. Our Jesus didn't discriminate against anyone, whether he was high or low in status. He equally treated each person, not discriminating against him, whether he was rich or poor, whether he was educated or not. He paid all the more attention to orphans, widows, and the neglected, extending warm love to them. With a heart of not breaking off a better reed or putting out a smoldering wick, Jesus loved the souls and washed his disciples' feet. But Job insulted even the fathers of those young men who mocked him, which was evil and very far from the goodness of God. God wants His children to emulate the Lord's heart and achieve a heart by which they can forgive and embrace others with love, namely a good and beautiful heart. For this reason, God was refining Job that he could attain to such goodness and love as well. Job went on to remark on the fathers of the young man who mocked him. He said in chapter 30, verse 2, "Indeed, what good was the strength of their hands to me? Vigor had perished from them." Here, Job was claiming that their fathers were powerless, incompetent, and useless, so they were of no help to him. In saying so, Job was differentiating himself from them. Namely, he was belittling them by saying, like, "I used to be a man of wealth and honor whom they couldn't even have stood before me." Then, what kind of life did they have, and why did Job scorn them this way? The answer is found in the following verses. From want and famine they are gaunt, who know the dry ground by night and waste and desolation, who pluck mallow by the bushes, and whose good is the heart of... being gone from want and famine means they were starving, and being in desolation means they were in a state of complete helplessness. He explained how miserable and pitiful they were, knowing the dry ground and waste. Because they were that poor and pitiful, Job used to help them out. But not only did they forget paying back the favor, but even their children ridiculed and belittled them. Job found their character despicable and grieved for their betrayal. He continued to explain how miserable and lonely they were. From Job's remark, "Who pluck mallow by the bushes, and whose food is the root of the broom shrub," we can infer what an afflicting and tough life they were living. Can you imagine how impoverished they were, making food of such plants? Until like 1950s, Korea also suffered a famine in every spring, which was called the barley hump. As people had run out of crops harvest from the previous fall, and the barley hadn't ripened enough, they barely maintained their life, feeding on grass roots and the bark of the trees. Job described how the fathers of the young men were in such miserable and lonely positions. You may even in Korea, years ago, people tried to find the roots of grass and they made food of them. And they made porridges out of that. And there were such times in the past. And Job described the life of the fathers of the young man who mocked him. Job described how the fathers of the young man were in such miserable and lowly positions. In doing so, he asserted how unfair it was that he was being mocked by such people. From this, we find that it wasn't just his three friends that attacked him, but there were many more. When they said one word, Job struck back with two, desperately trying to defeat them. In turn, he stirred up their evil and turned more people into his enemies. Again, and young people, Job explained why those young people mocked him. We heard about the Job's conversations between Job and his friends. But in this chapter, we find that more people were actually distressing Job, not just his friends. And Job actually was ignoring or disregarding them. Job didn't keep silent, but he struck back with two words. When he struck back more, and he talked about their past life and disregarded their life. So that's why he was continuously attacked by them. Why should we argue over which is right or wrong? But how wonderful David was when he was in trial, when he was distressed by some people. He tried to find God's will and he just kept silent. Then ultimately God had him, raised him. When you are in a low position, when you are in trials, do you have such thoughts like, I did a lot of good to him. I know his past. I know his present time. How could you ignore me? How could he disregard me like this? Also, when someone else distresses you and harasses you, do you look back on yourself humbly? But do you fight back and argue with him? Do you ignore or disregard him? If you don't do so, this is all arrogance and you have to cast it off. We know that Job was a fleshly man. Based on his words and based on his reactions and based on the fact that he even despised the fathers of the young men who mocked him. This proves that Job was a man of flesh and all the good and righteous deeds he accumulated in the past were fleshly. What about our Jesus? Even though he did only good, he unfairly suffered. Even while he was standing trial, he didn't try disputing or arguing. He didn't say like, I've only sacrificed myself and done good things for people. How could you do this to me? Neither did he mention their lowliness. Even when Pilate gave him a chance to speak for himself, asking, so, you are a king? He didn't say this and that to defend himself. He only responded in the truth, as we find in John chapter 18, verse 37. You say correctly that I'm a king, for this I have been born, and for this I have come into the world to testify to the truth. Everyone who is of the truth hears my voice. Even as he suffered on the cross, he didn't show any complaint or resentment. As written in Isaiah chapter 53, verse 7, he was oppressed and he was afflicted, yet he did not open his mouth, like a lamb that is led to slaughter, and like a sheep that is silent before its shearers, so he did not open his mouth. he silently walked away of afflictions. Even when no one understood and recognized his sacrifice, Jesus never felt upset about it. Rather, he asked for God's forgiveness for those who were crucifying and scoffing at him. This is true love, righteousness, and goodness. I hope that all of you always engrave the true goodness and love demonstrated by our Lord in your heart and walk His way, thereby reaching New Jerusalem where He is. Brothers and sisters, from a physical perspective, Job possessed a kind of goodness that ordinary people could hardly have. But since it wasn't spiritual goodness, he had his evil revealed inside out through trials. Though he considered himself righteous and tried to exalt himself, he uttered evil words that could have never been spoken by a righteous person. In doing so, he himself proved that he was truly righteousness. The kind of righteousness which Job had was fleshly righteousness. Therefore, God refined him so that Job could shatter his fleshly righteousness and attain to true righteousness. For us to achieve true goodness and righteousness, we are to properly discern between goodness and evil in the truth. The reason is, what man think of as good and righteous could be evil in God's sight. Particularly, one's self-righteousness is packaged with the truth. One's self-righteousness packaged with the truth is hard to be distinguished from what is righteous in God's sight. Thus, there are times God puts us through trials so we can discover ourselves and share our own righteousness like Job did. Only after we shatter our own self-righteousness can we pursue God's will and enjoy His abundant blessings. I pray in our Lord's name that all of you will discover your self-righteousness through fervent prayer and completely shatter it, thereby achieving God's goodness and righteousness.
Hallelujah, our Almighty Father God of love, please lay your hands on all the members who are receiving this prayer now. May you work in ways that transcend space and time for your children all over the world. I ask you to give them faith by which they can believe from the heart, drive away their negative thoughts and doubts, and make all their tests and tribulations go away. Scorch them from head to toe, all of their organs, intestines, bones, nerves, tissues, and cells with the fire of the Holy Spirit, and work with the original light. I command in the name of Jesus Christ, the enemy devil, all diseases, germs, and weaknesses go away. May the light come upon them. Please cleanse them of all terminal and incurable diseases by scorching them with the fire of the Holy Spirit. Drive away all endemic diseases, including malaria, all contagious and infectious diseases and related symptoms such as cold, coughing, fever, and flu go away. May you protect them from all diseases, heal them of all kinds of cancers, including monastic cancers, AIDS, leukemia, cerebral apoplexy, high low blood pressures, heart disease, pulmonary or gastric disease, diabetes, women's disease, dermatitis, thyroid problems, and all kinds of inflammations. I ask you to perfectly heal them of polio, stroke, arthritis, and herniated discs. Make all kinds of pain go away, including backache, headache, and neuralgia. All mental diseases like epilepsy, autism, depression, manic depression, panic disorder, neurosis, dementia, go away. All kinds of paralysis go away. May they stand up, walk, and leap. Please make them see better or hear better. May the blind begin to see, the deaf to hear, and the mute to speak. Father, perfectly heal them of the after effects of all kinds of accidents and make their broken bones knit back together. Make their skins fully recover from burns. All burning sensations and heat go away. Father, please keep them from having any scar. Cleanse them of addiction to all kinds of drugs and poisoning. Make their dead nerves and cells regenerate. Make the dead revive. Father, may you bless infertile couples with a child. In the name of Jesus Christ, I command the enemy devil and Satan, all evil spirits, the ruler of the kingdom of the air, and their servants, go away. All evil spirits, dirty spirits, deceitful and crafty spirits, and separating and deceiving spirits, all darkness, go away. Darkness be driven away, and all the bonds of wickedness be loosed. May the light come. Father God, please give us strength to cry out in prayer and empower us to cast off sins and become sanctified. Make everything go well with them as their soul prospers, and help them evangelize their families as well. All through the week, may you protect us from all accidents and disasters and bless us to lead a prosperous life where nothing goes wrong. Please protect all your children, their families, workplaces, and businesses with the fiery walls of the Holy Spirit, heavenly hosts and angels, and your blazing eyes. Give our students wisdom and understanding, and let them have more fervor and passion to study hard. Protect their hearts and minds from being taken away by the world. Bless our students to love you more fervently. Please bless your children to lead a life where they do everything to your glory, whether they eat or drink or whatever they do. Bless them to always confess with their lips, "I've met and experienced God, I've received His answers and blessings." Father God, thank you. May you be glorified alone. I pray in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.